So my name is José Bové. Listen to health writers if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Hello, my name is Chris Lang, and welcome to Health Writers. As evidence mounts of the efficacy of marijuana's curative and therapeutic properties, states are racing to develop laws that would effectively decriminalize cannabis for medical use. While it may come as no surprise that states like Colorado and Washington have made it legal for recreational use, even relatively conservative states like Indiana and Tennessee have bills on the table to reduce restrictions for medical use. This green revolution is coming to Wisconsin in the form of Senate Bill 371, also known as the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act, named for the Wisconsin native who suffers from a rare genetic disorder that attacks the body's connective tissues. From the bill text, it says this bill establishes a medical necessity defense to marijuana-related prosecutions and forfeiture actions. A person having or undergoing a debilitating medical condition or treatment may invoke this defense. And then it goes on to list a series of medical conditions that qualify, or a chronic or debilitating disease or medical condition, or the treatment of such a disease or condition that causes wasting away, severe pain, severe nausea, seizures, or severe and persistent muscle spasms, or any other medical condition or treatment for a medical condition designated as a debilitating medical condition or treatment in rules promulgated by the Department of Health Services. The bill intends to decriminalize marijuana for medical research and patient care. Introduced in the 2011 Wisconsin legislative session, SB 371 was initially killed in committee that year, but fellow sponsors Senator John Erpenbach and Representative Chris Taylor are not giving up. Over the course of two interviews, with special thanks to my colleague Jonathan Zarov from the Friday Buzz, Representative Taylor made a pretty convincing argument.
Tell me about the Jackie Rickert Medical Cannabis Act and what it would cover.
Sure. What it does is basically decriminalize the use of medical marijuana if you have a debilitating medical condition that's causing you pain or causing other symptoms like seizures, loss of your appetite. So it's fairly comprehensive in addressing, you know, we do specify certain conditions like cancer, HIV, AIDS, glaucoma, but also any other condition that is causing severe pain that a physician believes the use of cannabis could help. So it does, you know, we just try to cover conditions that cause pain and that are causing severe disruption to a very ill patient so that they're able to access it. It does establish compassionate care centers where patients can go to get cannabis. Patients have to have a registry card, so they have to have some kind of authorization from their physician. And then they can go to the Department of Health Services to get a registry card. And then at that point, they can go to a compassionate care center to purchase the cannabis. And it can be in any form, because what we know is some forms help certain conditions, other forms help other conditions. So there's no form specified in the bill. It's any form of cannabis that would help the patient. And the patient can go to a compassionate, nonprofit compassionate care center to purchase legally cannabis. And these nonprofit compassionate care centers are regulated by the Department of Health Services. The bill also establishes testing laboratories to make sure there's no contamination in the cannabis and to do research on the medical uses of cannabis. It also allows a patient to have to grow at home, to have up to 12 plants at home.
Now, is that the only way that it can be legally produced? Because, of course, this law, this bill, it puts medical marijuana in a context where it's still illegal, and according to federal law, where it would still be illegal to, you know, grow in a big field or to buy from somebody on a street corner. So that's
right. It has to be enclosed. You have to grow in an enclosed area that is in your control, basically, is what the bill says. So you can't, you know, you can't be growing out in the field. It does have to be enclosed.
But I thought you said you could go to a center to get it.
You could go to a center to get it. You don't have to grow it yourself, but you can, because that's, some people want to do it that way, but you can go to a center. And I think that, you know, for me, in listening to all the stories that I've heard from patients and from families who have watched a loved one suffer or experience the suffering themselves, if this is something that we can do to alleviate pain and discomfort for patients, some experiencing the most horrendous diseases and just trying to get by, get through the treatment, it's something that we absolutely should do so that these patients aren't criminals. Now they're treated as criminals.
Yeah.
Go out and buy, you know, cannabis illegally to use it medicinally, and this will change that.
How do the centers get it, though? Do they have to grow it themselves as well?
Yes, they would grow it themselves. And so that's how they would acquire it. But, you know, again, it's fairly regulated. I mean, I think what we did with this bill, because now 20 states have medical marijuana and the District of Columbia. So what we kind of did was looked at some of the best practices from all around the country and kind of took those elements and put it in this bill. But it is fair, you know, it's regulated under the bill. It's, you know, I've heard from some of the myths out there from my Republican colleagues is, oh, this is going to lead to full legalization. And I think if you read the bill, you actually would not reach that conclusion, because it does establish a regulatory framework.
Well, legalization might also have a, like, alcohol is regulated. It certainly we'd imagine that marijuana would be.
And so are, you know, so are class 2, 3, 4 prescription drugs. I mean, we do regulate all kinds of medications that patients need for pain. But the interesting thing, I think, about medical cannabis is we're getting more and more medical research on how it does have a very unique property in alleviating pain. For some patients, it is the best form of pain relief. And we have more and more medical evidence coming out saying that. So what we're finding out is that actually for some patients, it's the absolute best form of pain relief and mitigating certain symptoms. You know, there was an article yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a family that has a 6-year-old daughter who has a very rare seizure disorder, and she's on these very powerful anticonvulsant drugs that come with various side effects, and eventually they become ineffective. The only option is brain surgery on a 6-year-old. You probably don't want to do this. But there are stories and experiences of children using a form of oil from a cannabis strain very low in THC and high in the cannabidiol, which is really where the medical benefit is. It's in the CBD. It's in the cannabis piece and not in the THC, which makes you high, basically, which gives you that highness from smoking. But there is a strain of the oil that has been used in a couple of cases that are now fairly well documented, and in this article it goes into this, for children who have this very rare seizure disorder and how this oil from cannabis has really been seen to help these children.
It's really about patients. It's really about making sure all patients have access. This is safe to medical cannabis who need it so that they can get some relief from some really horrendous symptoms in some really just horrible diseases.
Chris Taylor represents the 76th District in Madison.
So it's predominantly for pain.
Well, it doesn't specify that. It says patients that have these diseases, okay. And it goes through a list. There are seizure disorders where medical cannabis helps. As I said, HIV, AIDS, glaucoma, cancer. So it doesn't specify necessarily it has to specifically be used for pain. But we know from hearing from so many patients and looking at the medical research that actually really helps alleviate pain for a lot of patients. But it also can be used to stimulate appetite for cancer patients who are going through chemotherapy. So there's other positive impacts on patients besides pain management. But that is one thing that I heard over and over and over, that from family members and friends and people who need it for themselves just to manage their chronic conditions, that it is something that definitely helps with pain, but that's not the only benefit. And that's not specified necessarily in the bill that it has to be used for that. But it is specific to having a medical issue that could be helped by the use of medical cannabis and having a physician basically attest to that.
When I think about it, I think of you're putting into the hands of the doctors who are in charge of narcotics,
right,
of oxycodone, and some really severely addictive,
right,
legal drugs. So I'm asking a lot about the opposition because yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get anybody on.
Which is very interesting because we don't have any Republicans actually on the bill as co-sponsors. So it's very interesting that, you know, they won't let it come forward. We can't get a hearing, it doesn't look like, on the bill. And yet they're not, you know, confident enough in their position in opposing a bill like this to come on your show. And I think what that tells me is deep down inside, they know the public supports this. They know they're on the wrong side of this issue.
What do they have against it, then?
It's just that, I think. I think there's a lot of myths. There's a lot of misperceptions. There's a lot of not really understanding the bill and what the bill does for patients, not understanding the medical support from the medical community that this issue now has. The American Medical Association has come out and supported this.
The Wisconsin Medical Society was not available for an interview, but they submitted this statement. Here is a summary of the society's recommendations for this. The Wisconsin Medical Society recommends that adequate and well-controlled studies of smoked marijuana be conducted in patients who have serious conditions for which preclinical, anecdotal, or controlled evidence suggests possible efficacy. Smoked marijuana should not be used for therapeutic reasons without scientific data regarding its safety and efficacy for specific indications. The Society also believes that effective patient care requires the free and unfettered exchange of information on treatment alternatives, and that discussion of these alternatives between physicians remain legal.
So it has enormous support, not just publicly, but from medical organizations, and that's going to continue to grow, I think. That's just going to be greater and greater. So it's part of that. It's part of this misperception that this is not good politically, and yet I think, on the other hand, I think they know that coming out in opposition to a bill like this is not good for them politically either. So,
but it may not be bad. See, I mean, whereas people probably approve, 80% approve of legalizing for medical use, but it's not going to hurt them to oppose it.
But they won't. They won't oppose it because they won't publicly oppose it because they know how much support it has in the public. So even though we can't affirmatively get them on the bill, we will eventually. There will be a Republican, and I think sometime very soon, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if next session we could perhaps get some Republican support because the public support just continues to grow.
If you look at the organizational support for medical cannabis, it's definitely growing. The American Medical Association has called for changing the status of cannabis. The Wisconsin Nurses Association supports legalizing cannabis for medicinal uses. The AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Public Health Association, the American Bar Association, the American Public Health Association, the American Academy of HIV Medicine. I mean, you can go on and see over the last, I would say, decade, I think from the medical community, the support is growing, certainly from the public perspective.
But right now, I think it's getting that first person to come out from the Republican caucus to say, I do support this for medical use.
Talk a little bit about the economics behind it.
Sure. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, it's becoming a billion-dollar industry in Colorado. I mean, it's a burgeoning industry in Colorado. And they are now, as of January 1st, had recreational use of marijuana is now legal. So, you know, the money is incredible, the injection into an economy. And we'll know more as we watch Colorado. You know, we're watching that very in Washington too. So we're going to watch those things very closely, but I suspect it's going to be a huge economic boon to those economies there. You know, the other kind of argument you think might appeal to Republicans, and I kind of think this too with some other of the social issues we deal with, like with women and abortion rights and access to birth control, is there used to be a strain of Republicans, sometimes they still bring this out, but I hear less and less of it, who really did believe that it's not the role of the government. It's not the role of the government. You know, big government, intrusive government is telling you you can't have access to abortion, you can't have access to birth control. That's the biggest, most intrusive government there is. And that's their position, the Republicans' position. And I think you see some of that with this is, well, if this is safe, if this is, you know, obviously like alcohol use, you would want to have laws which if you were driving high or you were somehow endangering other people, and that's in our bill too. You can't be using marijuana and be on school premises or driving a car and endanger somebody's safety, just like alcohol, right? We have those parameters around alcohol.
Except
use
you can't,
too.
It's hard to test for it.
Well,
you can, but you can test a month down the road. You can take your hair and
yeah, it's
test,
not
but,
that
I mean,
hard really to test for use. I mean, there's you could use
shot,
fingernails.
Right.
You can, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to test.
But they don't really have a breathalyzer type of thing.
No, no, but you could a hair follicle. Okay. I mean, you could. So the point being, though, is that you know the risk of legalizing alcohol, which nobody questions, is that people will abuse it. So you have laws around that abuse. So why couldn't the same kind of thinking be applied to marijuana? That it, the responsible use is allowed, but obviously someone is abusing it and somebody is, you know, acting in a way through the use that is endangering somebody else. We have laws around that for alcohol, too. I mean, there's
right,
no
but,
reason why we couldn't have
but
laws
we're still
around.
One of the drinking and driving states.
Oh, I know.
We have the detox
I know.
Centers
I know.
For alcohol. So
right.
What if I was to say, well, look at alcohol.
Right.
You know, and the burden of health care from alcohol abuse. Obviously, there are differences between overuse of marijuana and overuse of alcohol. But, I mean, I could see that being a...
I think the point being, though, is no Republican would ever, we'd never go back to the days of prohibition, right? We've accepted alcohol is legal. Do people abuse it horribly? Yes, they do. But it's still going to be legal, right? Because what we've done now is craft laws around it to hopefully cut down on the abuse of it. So isn't that something you could apply towards marijuana use? I mean, if you're talking about full-out legalization. So, you know, there are substances, there's alcohol and other legal prescription drugs we know that are abused. And that doesn't mean that they're not legal, right? It doesn't mean you're going to take access away from everybody because some people abuse them. It means that you try to control the use so they're not abused. And obviously, we're not doing a very good job here in Wisconsin. You know, with being the highest in drunk driving and all these other things. But the point being is it's going to be interesting to see Colorado because they are crafting those kinds of laws around the use of marijuana and to see how that plays out. But I certainly don't think it's an argument to not allow the legalization of marijuana, that people might abuse it. Well, yeah, people, you know, they might
abuse
a lot of things.
People abuse everything. Do you see this as a slippery slope? And is this a means to the end of basically legalizing it overall in your mind?
I don't think this bill is, if you read this bill, because it does set a pretty specific framework with who is entitled to get access. You know, it does require that you have an illness. It does require that your physician attest to the fact that this would help you, and then distribution is confined to these compassionate care centers that are nonprofit. So I think it's fairly, well, I think it's a really good framework, frankly, that we have come up with in the bill, and we've had an opportunity to look at what other states have done, and I think really pulled the best pieces of other bills. So I don't necessarily think this bill is some kind of slippery slope.
What about your mind?
You don't see too many states legalizing marijuana use. I think, you know, Colorado, obviously, But we have 20 states that have medical cannabis laws and the District of Columbia. And we have some other states that are much more lenient on the medical use. So that seems to be the trend. We'll see if there's other states that come out and legalize that have legalized, but you haven't seen that, right? Actually, you have not seen that. So I don't necessarily think that's how it's playing out. I think my big concern right now was, I know there are sick people. I know there are people this could help. And so that is my focus in getting, we have got to get this bill passed. And then I think that discussion of full legalization is for another day after we can make sure sick people get what they need.
You have kids going into grandma's medicine cabinet, mm-hmm. popping the pills. That can happen with anything.
Yeah.
Breaking
right.
the liquor cabinet.
I mean, look
whatever.
At a prescription drug. We just passed, you know, we spent the last week in this body talking about heroin addiction. And in Dane County, it's really gotten to be a huge concern. In 2013, we had a 33% increase in deaths related to heroin. And part of that pathway to get to heroin is prescription drug abuse. So we talked about...
And marijuana.
And, well, actually...
But
you know,
illegal use.
Right.
Okay.
Most of the research looks at the abuse of prescription drugs as a pathway to heroin. I didn't specifically look at anything that showed marijuana was a pathway to heroin.
Well, everybody says gateway drug, right?
Yeah, I think it's I don't know. I'll have to look at this after this interview and see. But really, most of the things that I was looking at was really this prescription drug abuse situation, and that really leading to these horrible heroin addictions. And one of the things that we talked about in the hearing was the practice that people have of leaving these, you know, painkillers in their medicine cabinets, and their kids go in and they take them.
You mentioned myths.
I think one of the myths is with people who use marijuana, that they're hippies, they don't work, they're deadbeats, you know. And so part of this is really countering that and saying, no, this is your neighbor. This is a person in your family. This could be anybody. Anybody could get cancer. These diseases don't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or a Democrat. But I still think that's a myth out there. That is a myth. And unless you've had something personal, experienced something personal, perhaps you're still willing to buy into those myths and not understand that this really is not about, you know, these back alley drug deals. I mean, this is about sick patients not being treated as criminals,
right?
And not, you know, having to maybe risk their own safety to get marijuana and not.
Or record.
Or
the criminal
or
record,
being,
yep.
You know, charged. Mm-hmm. So it's really about treating people who have illness with respect and dignity that they deserve. That is really the bottom line, I think, with this bill. But I do think it's this kind of misperception. Oh, this is just, you know, potheads in Madison.
Mm-hmm. Even the Madison police itself, it's a misdemeanor to have an ounce or something, mm-hmm. under an ounce,
yeah.
or something. So they're sort of almost legal,
yeah.
now. But if they believe these myths, they truly believe it, not as myths, then you would think they would be comfortable to say it.
It doesn't always happen that way.
Like the gay marriage argument. It's like people are comfortable spouting all these myths for that, opposing it.
Yeah. But look what's happening with that issue. It's kind of similar. In fact, I was going to mention that when you look at, especially with younger people, that too, and I'm very heartened on that issue as well, because I know that soon, hopefully in my children's life, you know, childhoods, we are going to get discrimination out of our Constitution. And so that's another thing I'm very confident is going to happen. But it's similar, because you have massive support of gay marriage from people from 18 to 35. You know, overwhelming support. Mm-hmm. And yet we have a horrible discriminatory provision in our Constitution. But that will go too one day. I have heard from people from all over the state who want this bill. And they are Republicans and they are Democrats. And they live in Fond du Lac and they live in Superior and they live all over the place. I was really, really surprised by how many people turned out at our press conference when we rolled out this bill. You know, just average people came who really want to see this bill passed. So this isn't a Madison issue. It's not a Milwaukee issue. This is a statewide issue, and there is statewide support for this. But I still think some of these misperceptions and these stereotypes kind of color some of my Republican colleagues' willingness to consider this as a really important issue for a lot of people in this state.
Do you think there's some sort of the polarization politically is contributing a little bit to it? Like, I don't want to listen to whatever you say.
I mean, certainly I think this divisiveness that was brought to our state by Governor Walker has not helped us at all. It hasn't helped us in this body of the legislature, and I don't think it's helped our state at all. I don't think that's how you do things. I really don't. That is not a good tactic of a leader. And true leaders don't lead by dividing. They just don't. So I think it's been very unfortunate in a lot of ways. This session, I feel like there's more willingness to at least have conversations from my Republican colleagues. Now, they don't always like what I say, I have to say, because I oppose a lot of the big policies that they have. But I also do have bills with Republicans. And I think you have to continue to look for issues where you can be united. I think it's incredibly important. You know, I'm not sure that contributes to the lack of support to this bill. It could. That kind of divisiveness that was brought to our state, unfortunately, and the kind of, well, only those kind of people use marijuana.
So let's bring it back to this bill that you're introducing with John Erpenbach, the Jackie Rickert Medical Cannabis Act. What's its progress and what's its likelihood of passing?
Well, the good news about this bill is every time it's been introduced, every session, we get more and more support. And actually, this is the first time that I've had the privilege to introduce this bill. But we do have more co-sponsors every time we introduce the bill.
From my perspective, why I think this bill is so important is because everybody has somebody in their life who has been debilitated by a horrible disease. And it's just the worst thing in the world to watch that. And if there's something, and we know that cannabis does help alleviate pain, it does help alleviate some horrible debilitating symptoms, it can help cancer patients, HIV patients, some really just terrible, terrible afflictions. It can help people survive those and get through them with pain management and other really medicinal effects of smoking cannabis.
Clearly, the discussion of medical benefits of marijuana is hitting critical mass. As with most controversial legislation, there are a few bugs to work out, especially relating to the overlap of federal and state laws. But minus the resistance of a few local legislators, a groundswell of public support seems to indicate that it's only a matter of time before the decriminalization of marijuana for medical use will become law of the land. This has been another episode of Health Writers. I'm Chris Lang, and thank you for listening.
That does it for this evening's Health Writers. I want to mention that you should visit the Health Writers website at healthwriters.wordpress.com, and you can listen to all this episode and learn again about Representative Chris Taylor's views on medical marijuana or any of our past episodes.